The Drives podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security, disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group at 865-566-0800 or visit dag-us.com.
It's time for The Drives Top 4 at 4.
All right, back here on The Drive, hour number 2. We start with your Top 4 at 4. Tennessee baseball Vols getting set to play in the SEC tournament. Vols are back in Hoover, number 9 seed. Begin their postseason run tomorrow afternoon at 5:30 against number 8 seed Auburn at the Hoover Metropolitan Stadium in Birmingham. The game will be televised by the SEC Network. Starting pitchers for Tennessee, it will be Garrett Stallings going up against Elliot Anderson for Auburn. PGA Championship yesterday, another one for Brooks Koepka. He is just continuing his string of dominant major performances, winning his fourth major and his second PGA Championship in a row. Almost choked it away. Had a 7-stroke lead going into Sunday. Holds on by 1 stroke over Dustin Johnson.
I don't like him.
He's unlikable. He's just boring. He's got kind of a punchable face.
Yeah.
His name is Brooks Koepka. I mean, just let that one sink in for a minute. He's not a very likable
rich
dude.
Boy, isn't he?
I don't know. He's just...
Where did he go to college? You know that?
I don't know. I don't know anything about him.
He seems like he would have gone to, like...
He went to Florida State?
That's what I was getting ready to say. That's the kind of guy go Florida State.
I would peg him for an Auburn guy.
I honestly thought he might be a Vanderbilt or like a, you know, an Arizona State.
Let's be honest. If Brooks Koepka walked in here right now not wearing like golfer attire, would you know who he is?
No, I'd probably start verbally abusing him and thinking he was one of the newer interns.
NBA, basketball tonight.
Who's playing?
Warriors. Look to put the finishing touches on the Trailblazers. A little disappointed there, man. I thought the Blazers would show up. Put up a fight without Kevin Durant. Like,
Without Durant.
Have you watched any of this series, Bear?
None. I don't have to.
You're really good
it.
At that, though, man. Like, you really sounded like you knew what you were talking about for a second. You don't.
They're playing better. Have they won more games since Durant's been out? They're just crushing people, right?
Well, they've played 4 games.
Have they lost?
No, they've not.
You made my point. Number 3, Russ.
It is science. Oh, I was going to say, yesterday, a pretty wild one. Double overtime thriller. The Raptors had to have it. And they pull it out. Big game from Kawhi Leonard. They get into that series. Milwaukee still leading that one 2-1.
I just have no rooting interest in any of these teams. That's why I usually watch the semifinals and the finals. But I have no rooting interest in it. And I haven't probably since Kobe left the Lakers.
And finally, on your top 4 at 4, Jeopardy James is back.
DVR set, Russ.
Big Brain James is Jeopardy gets back to regular season format after the Tournament of Teachers or whatever it was the past 2 weeks. And James Holzhauer comes back trying to chase down Ken Jennings and become the GOAT.
You think he's going to do it?
It would take a marvelous intellect to unseat this dude. Yeah, I think he's going to do it.
All right.
So he is back tonight. We are back. Hour number 2 of The Drive. You want to jump in, take a shot, 865-546-8200. We are pondering Game of Thrones' place in the long pantheon of great television. Where does it rank? Is it the greatest TV show of all time? 546-8200 is your number to get on the show here this afternoon. Let's go back to the phones and talk to Phil. Good afternoon, Phil. You're up next here on The Drive.
Why are you lying, W.O.?
Sorry, Phil.
How you doing, Bird?
Doing well. How are you, sir?
I ain't hearing all your Queen of Thrones talk.
The what of Thrones?
Queen of Thrones.
Queen?
Yeah. I'm proud that I've never watched an episode of it, never will. There's no way it could be good as The Wire. I've watched The Wire. There's no way it could be. And Sons of Anarchy, I've watched that. And then, of course, the
How would you know? You just said
interrupting the man. I'm wanting to hear. What else, Phil?
I mean, there's no way. I mean, anybody with any common sense, that's more like real life. Those, there's no way.
Well, how about this, Phil? I've never watched Sons of Anarchy. There's no way it could be as good as Game of Thrones. I've never watched it, but there's no way. What kind of sense does that make? Listen to yourself.
There's hotter chicks on the Anarchy, I'll say that.
I've watched both, Phil. I'm going to respectfully disagree with you.
Whatever, Barbara.
Roll down tide.
I was like, Barbara, I can't watch the show and he don't watch sports, then there's no much difference, is there?
That's actually a good point, Phil.
I don't watch the NBA, Phil.
Well, I don't watch much of it because I don't like it. I think it's an awful game, but I probably watch the finals, you know. I just hope Golden State don't win it.
That'd be Golden State winning again. They become the Patriots of the NBA. Suck all the life, all the fun, all the energy out of the room. But we'll see.
That's a good way to look at that, isn't it? Guys, Tony Vitello, it looks to me like he's probably going to be the most wanted item on the Hill now. And why are we just paying him half of what the women's basketball coach is making?
I don't think that's going to stay that way. I'd imagine he's going to get his contract reworked.
I still don't understand why the battle captain gave Jolly Holly $900,000 for a husband and wife team, and then poor old baseball coach only gets, what, $500,000, $450,000? What's that he's making in that rim?
Probably because the Lady Vol boosters are, do we really have to go through this again?
Yeah, but the bottom line is they don't make money, and neither does the baseball team.
Yeah.
They might have made some money back in the day when they were winning big, but they're not winning big now.
Well, first of all, Fulmer didn't give Vitello his contract. John Curry did. Second of all, as Barry said, he's probably looking at a pretty sizable bump here coming into the future. After this season. And also, you go look at Tony Vitello, who he was a young assistant at Arkansas. He didn't command very much money. And let's be honest, Tennessee's commitment to baseball is nowhere near its commitment level to men's and women's basketball and football. And that's probably as it should be here at Tennessee.
Yeah, but now Captain Logan's going to take it over now, though. If he's a wanted commodity.
Who is?
Rick Barnes. Rick Barnes is not worth the money he's getting, but he's getting it.
Does that disagree? I think he is worth it.
Is he?
Yeah, he's getting it.
Well, yeah, he's getting it. I mean,
you rather go back into the roulette world, you know, just playing roulette with whatever dipstick coach we can get to take our job?
No, but it's just the way Calipari worth $9 million a year? Not.
No.
Well, from that standpoint, we're getting a bargain.
Well, I'd like to get to a Final Four, wouldn't you?
Would be nice. But we got a guy who slaps John Calipari around more often than not, making $4 million a year less than he is. How about that?
Yeah. And Skolkin's getting $3.9
million. 3.7, 3.8, yeah, somewhere in there.
So maybe Skol can win 8 games this year, then he can
Everybody's going to have their hand out now, thanks to old Rick Barnes. Everybody's going to be coming up to Uncle Phil's office. Hey, Papo Phil, give me a raise, Papo Phil. Give me a raise like Rick Barnes.
I'm sure all around the country there, so Rick Barnes is making this. I want to make at least as much or more.
Oh, yeah, you know there's a ton of athletic directors whose stomach started churning when that contract dropped who have done more than he has.
Yeah, but like you say, Bear, I don't want to go back to being crummy again, and at least
Well, no,
Rick Barnes' track record Everybody says we're going to go 500 or less next year, but Rick Barnes only had three losing seasons in his whole illustrious career. So,
I love the people, the Chicken Little folks about the basketball program acting like we're going to be in the NIT next year. Those folks crack me up.
Well, the key of the whole season is going to be the backcourt is the strength of the team, but they can't afford no injuries.
It's gonna be a guard dominated team. I'm looking forward to it, man.
I want to see Jordan Bowden explode this year.
Well, he's probably one of the better athletes on the team. He should improve if you know.
I think he's one of the better athletes in the league and maybe in the country. I don't know. I've always been really high on Jordan.
I think the key is going to be this is a 7-foot-1 center going to be eligible immediately. Or, I mean, I'd take him if it's just half a season.
Is that the Vlasovic kid?
Yeah, I just don't see how in the world you can have to sit out 2 years where you can play a game, regardless of circumstances.
I get that. I hope he's able to play. I'm not sure how much I'm expecting from a transfer who doesn't sound like Arizona State guys fought that hard to keep him. I mean, I hope he turns out to be another great Rick Barnes big man project, but
I'm more interested in seeing Burns. He turns into a Lou. What was that kid's name? He's perfectly fine, but Lou Evans? A couple of years ago.
Well, Lou Evans is only about 6'7". I mean, this guy's 7'1". We actually got somebody who might be able to protect the rim. I mean, Kyle Alexander did every once in a while, but if he just rebounds and blocks shots, it'd be worth a scholarship. And also, if the other two guys there plus him, that's 15 fouls at the five position, and I'd use all of them to their max next year.
Well, if you're looking for rim protection, I know where a rim protector is, Russ. 6 foot. What, 10, 240 pounds? The Nigerian nightmare.
Christian Okoye out of Super.
Either there, you wait 2 more years to get NJ Tomba from Catholic High School, 6'11".
He's still growing.
Well, they got two of them? They got two Twin Towers over there at Catholic?
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah. Hamdi O'Malley is he's a freshman. He's 6'11".
Where's the other guy from?
Hamdi. I think he's from honestly.
I mean, can you give me a hemisphere, something, Bear? I mean, he's continent.
It's from overseas.
He's maybe the Congo or Nigeria.
All right.
But he reminds me of Reggie Johnson. That's what kind of player he's got offensive skills like Reggie Johnson. I think he'll be a 5-star player before he's out of Catholic, and so will B.J. Edwards.
That's the one we cannot miss on. That's a firewall for me.
Catholic has tapped the illustrious African pipeline right now.
Yeah, and everybody in Knoxville's scared to play them now. Kind of comical, isn't it?
Besides Austin East play. They'll play anybody. That's what I always liked. That's why I root for Austin East. They don't care. They'll play you.
Yeah. Remember what I say, who that going to be that? See.
What did he say?
Who that? Who day say gonna beat AE?
AE?
Yeah.
They do that too? Who started that? Was that the Bengals or the Saints that started that?
As far as I know, the Austin East Roadrunners did when they started destroying people in the 70s.
865-546-8200.
You don't understand that, do you?
I know what the chant is, but it's a
it
version
was started
of
by
the,
Austin East High School.
You're telling me the New Orleans Saints and the Cincinnati Bengals ripped off Austin East High School.
I'm saying, as far as I know, Austin East, in my lifetime, did it before them. First time I ever heard it was an Austin East gym.
Mean? But as far as you know, in your lifetime.
That means the very first time I ever heard that chant.
Okay, but they didn't start that. They took it from one of the NFL
says
teams.
You. Don't run down the Roadrunners program in front of me, buddy.
Yeah.
You didn't know this about me. Huge Roadrunner fan.
Uh-huh.
Well, you want to go down the annals of Austin East history? It's beautiful over there. NFL players, NBA players, proud tradition.
Mm-hmm. And you're the historian, huh?
I support the Roadrunner program. Always have.
Except for when they're playing Catholic.
I root for Catholic, but it's Jeremy not nearly Pruitt as bitter.
Jeremy Pruitt hosted a big recruiting weekend this weekend over at UT. Have you seen the video of them playing paintball out
No,
there?
I'm gonna watch it on the next break.
The UT Vol Twitter account posted this. I thought, when I heard the story, I just assumed that they had gone to some like range, right? They have these paintball ranges where you can go, and they've got the obstacles set up, and you can go and put on the...
What they do, just go out to Haslam Field?
Yeah.
And just line up.
Yeah, they like bales of hay and like tackling dummies and stuff up there, and players and coaches getting after it. It was hot this weekend too, man.
Bro, it's not gonna be below 90 for like the next 2 weeks. God, I can't wait till the pool opens.
What do you make of this, Jeremy Pruitt? Is this I don't say desperate, but is he just trying to shake things up? Because the perception right now is that Tennessee's not doing well in recruiting. They have particularly – they're in on good prospects. It's a good year in state. But Tennessee, for whatever reason, is having a slow start to
the
class of 2020. Is the fact that they're going out there to do this paintball tournament or whatever there – because last year all we heard is – Pruitt doesn't do that stuff. That's Butch Jones gimmicky type stuff. When he brings a recruit in, he brings him up to this office. They watch tape. They talk ball because Jeremy Pruitt's a football coach. Now all of a sudden, oh, we got Skolkan out there and his paintball mask and his gun, and they're running out there having fun and just getting away from it, not talking football, trying to have fun and connect with the kids on a one-on-one, human-to-human level. Like, is this a direct response? Is like Pruitt – is it a little panicky?
No.
Just trying to push a different button?
I mean, it's probably that. Biggest thing that he – I think it's good. Maybe he's relaxing a little bit. Chill the hell out. Biggest thing they've got to do to start landing some of these good recruits is what I said in the first hour. You cannot go 5-7 and expect even the in-state kids – the 4 and 5 stars to want to come play for your program. Those kids want to play on, they want to have a chance to get into the playoffs.
Yeah, and I think that Pruitt, we've been talking about this for a while now, I think he's starting to, I don't say learn a lesson, but he's just starting to realize that this is, the new car smell is worn off here. You know, every coach can go in there and sell the imagination to a prospect for about a year or so.
Right.
Once you got a 5-7 on your record, it's like, well, you're kind of the same as the last guy. Whether that's true or not, in a 17-year-old recruit side, you're the guy who went 5-7 at the school that went 4-8 the year before you got there. So I think he's learning now that this isn't Alabama and he's not Nick Saban. He can't just bring in a 4- or 5-star prospect from the state of Georgia – or even a 4- or 5-star prospect from Memphis or Nashville.
You can't do it with a 4- or 5-star from Knoxville.
And sit down in his office and turn on tape and say, well, this is how we like to play. Here's our 3-4 defense and our zone blitz and our coverage. Like,
he doesn't have any tape of us like shutting down Alabama or shutting down Georgia.
Well,
this is what we do here.
But if Alabama and Georgia are recruiting those same prospects and they're doing the same thing, where are you going to go? If the sales pitch is exactly the same at those three schools, why on earth would anybody go to the school that's won 9 games in 2 seasons? So,
we got to get aggressive, Russ.
Well, that's what he's. I think that's what he's doing. I think that he's trying to think outside the box. And, okay, I got to do something different, because if I'm just doing the same things that Alabama and Georgia are doing, then the kids are going to go to Alabama and Georgia because they're so much better than us lately. So what are some things that are different? Okay, let's stage a paintball tournament. Let's bring in some bales of hay and some tackling dummies. We'll come in and we'll talk ball with them a little bit, but let's get out there and have fun. Let's do something different that makes Tennessee memorable, that makes us stick out when they go back home and they're comparing us to Georgia and Alabama, because we can't do the same thing as Georgia and Alabama and expect to win, because we're not doing the same thing as Georgia and Alabama when it actually comes to getting out on the field and playing in those games.
The only thing that concerns me about, from all outward appearances, he's got kind of a prickly personality. But
Pruitt?
Yeah.
Well, maybe this is a way to dispel some of that.
We were at one of our remotes and Marcellus was telling me about, because I asked him outside on a commercial break. I was like, when did you get your offer? Like, when did you know you want to go to UT? And he was talking about being at camp, and he's in a drill, and he had no idea that Coach Fulmer even knew who he was, and said he rolled up on a golf cart with, I can't remember, it was a five-star, and, you know, watched him do a drill and then told him to hop in the golf cart with him. And it was just the I'm not doing the story, he told me justice, but it was, you know, I hope it's not something like that where he's so prickly or, you know, that he's not able to connect with the kids.
Maybe it is. Maybe this is what he feels like he's got to do to lighten up that reputation and show that he can cut up and have fun.
Yeah.
Because people always talk about Nick Saban you know, being the stern taskmaster, but also being able to charm the moms in the living room.
He charms the players, too, because I got a story from another kid that he ended up at Georgia, didn't go to Alabama, but he said the same thing. He said that Coach Saban made him feel like $1 million.
Well, he is also the kind of guy that could go in there, and he was the first one you ever heard about in the early 2000s, back when he was at LSU, is getting on the floor in a kid's living room playing PlayStation with him and actually knowing how to play and being able to play Madden and stuff like that.
Oh, God, I'd love to play him in some Madden.
Like, could you imagine, like, at that time, Fulmer or Tom Osborne or whoever he's recruiting? Like, those guys wouldn't know how to play.
What's this?
Those games. So, and everybody does that stuff now, but you got to, you watch, man. You watch. I'll give it 2 months before some other SEC school, and it'll probably be Dan Mullen, because that guy's never had an original thought in his life. He'll have the first annual Florida Gator paintball tournament under the lights in the swamp.
Go Gator.
I'd be afraid they'd show up with their moose knuckle.
Don't bring your own weapons, please. Please, it's frowned upon. All right. 865-546-8200, your number to get on the show this afternoon. We will take a quick timeout. When we continue, we'll find out who's on the docket, brought to you by Disability Advantage Group. Stay tuned. The Drive continues after this.
This is The Drive.
The Docket, brought to you by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for disability benefits? Call DAG today at 865-566-0800 or visit dag-us.com.
A Colorado man has been ordered to pay more than $28,000 to cover damages after he pleaded guilty to stealing a snowcat painted to look like the General Lee car featured in the TV series The Dukes of Hazzard.
What?
The Vail Daily reports the owners of the snowcat said Jason Cuervo damaged the tracks, axles, and electrical system after stealing it last year. Authorities say Cuervo hitched a trailer holding the snowcat to his pickup truck in Minturn and hauled it along Interstate 70 to Grand Junction. He was arrested a few weeks later at an auto shop. Cuervo blamed the crime on his opioid addiction and is serving 3 years in a community corrections program after pleading guilty to aggravated motor vehicle theft.
Snowcats, I will say I would love to have a snowcat, Russ.
Snowcats, that's that thing like that. The dude on was cruising in The Shining to get up to the hotel.
Scatman,
right?
Crothers. Yeah.
Well, those always did look like fun.
Yeah, but I always felt like in the back of my mind, I figured if you were in an environment where you're having to use one of those, imagine if that thing breaks down.
Would not be good.
No, but at least you're talking about you're either in the top of the Rocky Mountains or way up north of the Arctic Circle.
But at least it's closed. It's enclosed. You can kind of hunker down in there.
Hunker down in like 30 below weather? You die. That thing breaks down.
30 below?
Yeah.
Where are you? In Antarctica?
Up above the Arctic Circle.
In a snowcat?
Yeah.
There's no land up there, bro. It's the Arctic Circle.
I watch it on the Discovery Channel. That's some woman, great big old woman. She drives. She lives on her own up at some airstrip up there. She maintains some airstrip way the hell up above the Arctic Circle. She goes way. I mean, she goes out far. Like when she's driving out in that damn thing, she's seeing like the Northern Lights. It's really cool.
Is this like Ice Road Truckers?
No, it's not The Last Alaskans. That's a really good one. I'll have to look it up. I can't remember the name. I watched two different Alaska shows.
I've seen some of that where
the Last Alaskans,
the guy's
got
to fly up there to his cabin in the woods of Alaska.
And the trap lines. There's like only like there's six families that can live in the Anwar National Refuge. I feel like if you give me my science desk that I've always wanted, that we could cover stuff like this.
Meanwhile, in Ocala, Florida, a detention deputy is accused of stealing an inmate's $250 Nike sneakers. The Ocala Star-Banner reports Marion County Sheriff's Deputy Nicholas Frank Rudders was booked into his own facility on Wednesday. Oh, man. That's got to suck. The sheriff, Lieutenant Chris Vorasek, interviewed Rudders. The jail guard said he had the shoes, which were described as Nike Air Max 97 limited editions. Rudders gave Vorasek the shoes, which were photographed and returned to the inmate whose name has not been released. An affidavit says Rudders told investigators that someone had told him he could take the shoes. The inmate filed requests to get the shoes back. Surveillance video shows Rudders taking them. He's accused of petty theft. Released on bond, and jail records do not list a lawyer for him. He has been suspended from his job without pay.
Like, that's kind of, I mean, what do you expect?
So many questions here. First of all, like, what is a prison inmate doing with a pair of $250 Nikes?
That's pretty crazy. You know, I was watching Lock Up Raw last night on MSNBC as I went to sleep. And
it's not surprising.
They were interviewing this guy. I was wondering about that because, like, they showed this member of the Aryan Brotherhood, and he had on, like, they weren't jack boots, but they were boots, like lace-up boots. And then one of the other guys they were interviewing, you know, he just had them like on a pair of like Brogans or something. So I was like, I wonder if anybody tries to wear like Nikes. Like, I wonder if they don't want them to wear like athletic shoes because I feel like it'd be a little bit easier to run and jump over the fence.
Well, that and
people would steal them.
Yeah, people would get into fights and stuff over your Nikes. Another thing about being in prison, like, the value of actually having the Nikes probably goes down significantly. Like, what are you
getting? In some ways, but in other ways, they're
becomes a status symbol amongst the prisoners. That's a good way to get beaten up
in the shower.
Yeah. I like it in the prison. What do you call it? Locked up?
It's Lock Up Extended Raw or something. It's like all these NBC shows.
I like Locked Up Extended Raw when they show like the prisoners like, all right, it's time for exercise. I've been in my cell for 23 hours. Now I get to go in this concrete 8x11-foot block and walk in a circle for an hour. It's like that pit that they had Jesse in at the end of Breaking Bad. There's just like a gate over it. He can't even see the sun.
Yeah.
How about Jesse has a new show? You see that? HBO?
No.
It was one of the previews last night.
Which one was he? Because I noticed my girl from The Affair is in the weirder-looking one. I can't.
So there's The Watchmen.
That looks good.
Which looks interesting. There's, is it His Dark Materials? It's got
that's the one
Lin-Manuel
with the
Miranda in it.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about that I want to watch. I can't.
It looks like some sort of young adult fiction type
the
scenario.
Chick from The Affairs in it.
And then there was one more. Oh, I saw an amazing movie preview. Who do we have on hold?
Nobody right now. Oh, lines are open.
I thought we had somebody. 865-546-8200. I saw an amazing movie preview. I can't remember the name of the movie, but it is about the gist of it, Bear. Mm-hmm. Is this guy is a struggling musician.
Oh, no. It's called Yesterday.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
Saw that.
In the whole world, he like has some accident. Okay. He wakes up and nobody's heard of the Beatles.
Yeah. This guy's a struggling musician. Nobody comes to his show, so he's going to quit. And he's riding his bike later that night, and he flips and like hits his head, gets a concussion. He wakes up, and everything's normal. He's like going through his day, and then like he picks up his guitar, and he's playing for his girlfriend, and he's playing Yesterday. And she goes, what's that?
Yeah.
Like, it's Yesterday by the Beatles. He's a, who? The Beatles? Yeah. Oh, it's like by Paul McCartney. He wrote this. And she's like, who's Paul McCartney? He's like, what? And it turns out like the Beatles don't exist.
They do, and but so, they that was that one part of the preview where you it's like 3 seconds. There's some guy here named, I think it's either John or there's guys here, and they say that you stole their songs.
Well, but anyway, he's like, okay, well, he's just like kind of, he knows all the Beatles songs, so he's like, here's Hey Jude, here's, you know, Hey Bulldog. Like, he just starts writing all the Beatles songs and becomes a huge star, which is funny, because I play a little, you know, not particularly good.
You're not bad.
But I like to play.
I know.
And I'm not making this up. This is why it's so weird watching this. I have often fantasized because I like to play and I can imitate just about anything. I'm not a great, like, I've never really been a writer. I don't write like a lot of my own stuff, right? I have a couple things that I like.
But I've seen you. You can play.
But I have often fantasized about like getting in Doc Brown's time machine and going back to like, say, like 1965, 66. And just like being,
you'd have to go back to 62.
No, well, I'm not talking about the Beatles. Like,
no.
Go back and be like, oh, here's a song I wrote. It's called Purple Haze. I swear to God,
man. Ain't nobody
gonna
believe
that. I know it's so idiotic. I know it's so idiotic. But I like fantasize about going back. I don't just anything. Like, here's a new song I wrote. It's called Champagne Supernova. Like 1984. Like, go back there and...
Dude, I'm still on that rabbit hole. I've gotten deep on the YouTube videos of those guys.
I heard some Oasis on
on
the satellite radio this weekend. I thought of you.
The two of them are incredible followers. Neither one of them, both of them have like 5 million followers. They follow no one. And then Liam just takes shots at his brother. I mean, it's like almost every day. He calls him the potato. Could you imagine? You got brothers. I got brothers. Could you imagine being that mean to your brother? I mean, first
call him the potato.
Yeah,
I've been so much meaner to my brothers than that.
Have
you ever met my brothers? Like my youngest brother Mike. I didn't meet him sometime. I'll tell you. You want to hear about pure psychological, physical torture?
Yeah, but both of them ended up being bigger than you, right?
Like physically?
Yeah.
Ed's bigger than they're both bigger than me now.
They both played football, right?
No, just the middle one.
Okay, that's Ed.
Mm-hmm.
Ed Smith.
He's a big dude. He's a big feller.
You still roughhouse? You know, you still trying to emotionally manipulate him?
No, I mean, like we're grown ups now. We're adults. I don't emotionally. You're the only one I emotionally abuse, Bear.
It's not abuse.
You're the only one I like to. See how far I could. It is you do bring out a certain childhood quality to me, where it's like, oh, let's see if I can get him to crack today.
What was it, baby girl said?
Let's see how far I could push him down the road to insanity this afternoon. I've only got 3 hours. I think I can have him cracking up by 6.
What was it, my little buddy said? It's hard to feel bad for me. Do you know that, Rick?
No.
My daughter said that.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay, I remember Russell saying that last week.
That's a direct quote. It's hard to feel sorry for Bear.
You're kind of hard on him.
Welcome, Rick Butler, to the Fan Run Studios.
The Prince of Plano, Texas.
That's right.
Mailing it in. He's got his own show starting next week.
I wasn't mailing it in. I'm a good, responsible student.
Yeah, did you like how he sent out his directive before the show about the pause?
Oh, he was covering all bases. I do appreciate that because I hadn't thought about that. And luckily,
I knew you guys had.
Luckily,
about
your
that.
Replacement Parker.
I already had, and I'd been in contact with Parker.
And luckily, he was here because if it were like just me and Bear, we probably wouldn't have gotten all this stuff up and running.
The switcher thing, definitely not. I could have gotten the podcast.
You guys would have had my future co-host on the Blitz, Chance Collins, here to help. I think. Was Chance here?
Chance.
Chance knows how to do all this stuff.
I know he does. He knows better than anybody at the station.
Maybe Houston. He put it together. Yeah, Houston put it together.
So this dude from Michigan, Justin Rogers, is going to choose Kentucky over Tennessee, right?
In what?
In football.
Really?
Yeah.
There's also,
you've not been following this at all, have you?
No.
There's another big announcement today for a 4-star wide receiver. Tonight at 7. Seems like it's
somebody
between,
else we're not getting.
It's between us and Alabama. So we should feel really good about that one. It's a four-star wide receiver.
Oh, man.
Tyu Jones-Bell.
That's hilarious.
The only thing I will say is this. We'll see if Chaney's got any, because, I mean, it all depends on how hard Alabama, you know. A lot of times when kids say it's down between Alabama and another school, to me the question is, how committable is the offer from Alabama?
Well, Tennessee picked up three crystal balls in the last, what is it, in the last 3 days? But then again, Alabama still leads 92% to 8%.
Is that like some kind of scientific
No, you know certainty? How that works, right?
It's just not a bunch really. Of dudes, right?
No idea. Yeah, it's 247's thing. Like every 247 writer has one crystal ball per. It's just your prediction of where the player is going to go. So,
yeah.
Like here locally, Ryan Callahan can say if he's following a guy, he could say he can crystal ball him to Tennessee.
And so then if Ryan's got a source and feels like he's
they can take all they'll take all the writers. So say. 30 riders are covering a prospect, and they will all have their crystal ball. So, like, you said, what, 98% for this kid to go to Alabama?
Yes.
So that means, like, if there are 100 riders, 247 riders, which I know there aren't, but if there are 100 247 riders, 98 of them have crystal balled him to Alabama.
And they're kind of all over the place, too. Like, for this kid, Jones-Bell, there's 12 predictions, and it's from, like, Florida State contributor, SB Nation recruiting analyst, Alabama insider contributor, Alabama insider, Tennessee insider, Miami insider.
So where does who's
so
the Tennessee insider?
It's kind of all over the place. The Tennessee insider is Ryan Callahan.
Who does he have?
It doesn't say because I'm not a VIP at 247 Sports. Like,
yeah,
all
but
of these
I
are
feel like sometimes
paywall.
They're wrong because correct me if I'm wrong. They didn't have Toa crystal ball to us, and he.
I think they did at the end. It goes back and forth because you can go in there and change it at any time. Like
this is the most ridiculous thing to keep up with than ever. I mean, I love Ryan Callahan and all those guys, but
you don't know him.
I'm trying to be nice here.
Have you ever met him in your life?
No, I didn't want to go off the top rope. I'm trying to be a Condor General at Summer Bear. I'm being nicer. I'm getting ready to go to the beach here in a few weeks.
So you're just making up.
Relaxed.
That,
I'm finally over here.
No.
I'm sitting above you, finally.
You notice how dialed in Bear is? Like, he is into it afternoon.
I came in and I said, hey, you know.
This is
you
the
want...
most attention he's paid to this show in months.
I came in and I said, hey, you know, do you want your chair? You want me to go sit back there? And he was like, this is my spot now.
Ooh.
And I was like, owned it, though.
I'm not moving off of it.
Not in like a bad way. Like, you owned it.
You're
strong.
I hate
like,
sitting over
golly,
there.
That's yours.
Here's the thing on the recruiting, and I don't know this wide receiver. I mean, maybe we get him. That would be fantastic, obviously. But I just think we're at a point now, man, where, you know, last year we were able to get Darnell Wright, Toa Toa, Wanye. But we were able to get it, you know, it wasn't based on anything that was happening presently. It was all based on the future, you know, playing time. You come in here, you play right away. And it just doesn't seem like we have relationships like that with any big-time prospects right now.
We're
going to have to get the guys that we've already got in here and coach them up and be able to win some games at some point before we get another class like that. He's got to be able to develop the players that he signed last year and win some games with them. Otherwise, I just don't – unless you get a situation – and Darnell Wright was good last year because, like, his coach was a huge Tennessee guy, so we had it in there, and he hit it off with Niedermeyer, and we had, of course, a massive need on the offensive line, so – and we're close to – like, it was a perfect storm of scenarios to get that, and it just – it doesn't feel like we have that with any top – it felt like we had it with Justin Rogers – which was frustrating because we had the lead for him, and I don't expect him – I would be surprised, quite honestly, if he goes to Kentucky. He might commit there, but that recruitment's not over. But, man, they better hit on some of these in-state kids. Otherwise, it's going to be the recruiting junkie's not going to be happy.
Oh, the Stargazer is going to be outraged. I think some of it, too, those guys last year, those are kids that they had been recruiting for probably several years in their former jobs before they got to Tennessee. So, you know, they'd built up a long-standing relationship with those kids.
And Rick, we have Tyler says he's listening from the driving range at Pecan Hollow Golf Course in Plano. Do you know where that is?
Pecan Hollow Golf
Course. No.
That's a
no. The answer is no.
I do not.
If you have to Google, just say no. You don't have to. I wasn't asking.
It looks pretty close to my house, though. It looks very close.
How was your weekend, Rick?
My weekend was pretty good. I think I had some bad food from Chewy's. So I'm not really feeling. I'm not really feeling 100% today.
So much for the advertising proposal we had into Chewy's. Yeah. There, that's a big
thanks, Rick.
No.
Did we have Chewy's lined up?
If we did, I mean, you just crapped all
over the blast. It's that chair, man. I'm telling you, that chair is poison.
It lowers your IQ about 30 points every time you sit in it.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's kind of like George, you know, the George thing from Seinfeld. Remember when he got really smart?
It was when he stopped having relations.
Yeah. He was able to understand the theory of relativity.
Yeah. Are you coming from a romantic tryst, Rick?
Why, yes, I am. I don't know what tryst means, but...
Yeah, I don't believe you. Stay with us. The drive continues. We'll get some phone calls rolling here. 865-546-8200. Back with more after this. Fox Sports Knoxville, the drive continues. Rickard Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question today is, what's the GOAT TV show? Game of Thrones, it's over now. It's still a little early. I need some time to kind of put it in its proper perspective. We got 400 votes now on the Super Scientific at Fox Sports Knox Twitter poll, and this has tightened significantly. 37% of the audience is going Breaking Bad. 33% says Game of Thrones. 16% goes with The Sopranos. And we've got 14% voting for write-in candidates. So according to our audience, it's by and large a Breaking Bad Game of Thrones contest.
I'm going with The Affair, Russ.
The Affair is the best one-hour show?
It's up there, man. It's on my Mount Rushmore. Here's another one. Ray Donovan. Incredible show.
Got a vote for 24.
I think that might be my pick.
I never watched that.
Ray Donovan?
No, 24. I think my top three ever is 24, Friday Night Lights, and Game of Thrones.
You're really showing your age.
Yeah.
At Hickory Pot says True Detective Season 1.
Oh!
Yeah, good choice.
Now, that might be the best single season. I mean, can you say it's the show? Yeah. Like, as a franchise, like, you know, it's hard to compare True Detective to The Sopranos and other shows like that.
But he is right. The first season of True Detective is a masterpiece that's just kind of – it's kind of to me like what? Like a 10 or 12-hour – how many episodes were there in that one, Rick? 10?
Yes.
True Detective, I think there were 10.
Yeah, it was like a 10-hour movie.
It may have been 8. Might have been less than that.
But, yeah, I mean – I put that – that's just an incredible piece of television.
Speaking of the HBO stuff last night, do you guys watch the show Westworld? Because they released a new trailer.
Well, that's another example of the thing I was talking about where HBO has an amazing ability to make any show look like the best show in the history of television – in a 1.5-minute preview. The previews for Westworld before it came out, you're thinking, oh my God, like this is the next Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
This is going to be the next huge show that everybody talks about. And it sucks. It sucked me in. I watched it and it was like, it's kind of boring.
I tried so hard to get into it multiple times because I was like, I feel like this is going to take off. I don't want to be behind.
See, the original movie came out.
I couldn't get in.
It came out when I was a kid and it just kind of freaked me out when Yul Brynner pulled his face off and you just saw his solid state circuitry.
They're putting y'all's guy Aaron Paul into season 3. He was
that's what the preview was for. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Aaron Paul's going in that. But now supposedly he's going to be in
AKA Jesse from Breaking Bad.
Jesse, they're going to have a movie with Jesse from Breaking Bad. Like,
I keep hearing about this.
Like an epilogue, I guess, is what you would call it.
That'd be cool.
I'd like to find out, you know, did he get Brock? Is Walter dead? Have you seen that?
I think Walter's dead.
There's a solid theory. I mean, one would think you get shot with a 50 caliber round in the side. You've also got the whole terminal lung cancer thing.
You also tried to...
Yeah. Butler hasn't seen the end of Breaking Bad. You just hit it with one.
Yeah, I'm sorry, man.
I'm not currently watching, though.
Yeah. I mean, we're how far? We're like 4 years out from that show. I mean, you're on your own.
I feel like spoiler alert is well turned off.
Yeah.
I just had a thought.
Ray Donovan, though, is solid for anybody that hasn't seen anything. I like people with Boston, even though I hate Boston. I like shows with people with Boston accents. Like The Departed, it's incredible.
D.R. Vall says, meant to ask you guys about The Sopranos. Can you give, like, summary of what it's about? I thought about watching, but I heard the ending sucked.
No,
how would you summarize The Sopranos
for
somebody who's never watched it?
Just a story about a New Jersey crime family. It's loosely associated with the five families in New York.
And it's a mob. It's a mob drama.
Yeah,
but it's also dark comedy, and
it's weird. It's got so much stuff because it's got the whole family dynamic to it. Where
he's in therapy, and so there's all these kind of like Freudian symbols and stuff that are layered underneath it. It was pretty groundbreaking, and that's what I was going to tell you about Mad Men. One of the showrunner for Mad Men, I think his name is Matt Wiener. Grow up, Rick.
Oh, come on.
Grow up, Rick.
Everybody loves a good Wiener joke.
It might be Wiener. I might have just trashed him with the Wiener epithet. The showrunner for Mad Men was like David Chase's right-hand man for the second half of The Sopranos, wrote and directed a lot of those episodes. And he talked about how he wrote the pilot for Mad Men, like, I think before The Sopranos, like in the late 90s. And the show didn't start for like 10 years until after he had made his name on The Sopranos. And they're like, okay, well, we'll let you do your show now.
Right.
And so he said when he had first written the Mad Men thing, it was originally just a story about 1960s ad execs on Madison Avenue in Manhattan. But after getting to know David Chase and figuring out what made The Sopranos tick as a show, that's when he started layering in all the complicated psychological drama and stuff that, like, Mad Men, I'm going through the rewatch right now, and there's so many things that you notice that I did not notice in the first watch through. Just little subtle, like, interactions between characters that are really interesting. I would put it on my Mount Rushmore shows with The Sopranos. But yeah, if you haven't seen The Sopranos, I mean, it's 20 years old. You got to get with it, D.R. Vall. Come on, what are you doing? Got to go watch that show. 865-546-8200. We will get in the throne zone one last time. Once more unto the breach. Into the throne zone we will go. Coming up here in hour number three of The Drive, a full and complete breakdown of the series finale of what some, though certainly not all, are calling the greatest TV show of all time. Be interesting. Be interesting to see what
this place is. I'm
interested
to get Rick's take on it. You sounded really enthused. Save it for the throne zone, Rick.
Of course.
But you were really enthused last night on social media.
No, I was enthused in our group text. I just made a...
Oh, while it's on my
probably
mind...
Probably an insensitive joke on Twitter.
Can I go ahead and take a couple of I told you so laps for... first of all, for calling Bran sitting the Iron Throne. I made that call Friday on the Throne Zone. I called it. Actually, I just assumed that everybody... He was the betting favorite, so I figured that everybody had... Spoiler, you know, and did a big one. Then, my Sam Tarly, I just like facetiously tweeted like 3 weeks ago that he was going to come out and be like, excuse me, guys, excuse me. Instead of all this fighting and bloodshed, what if we let the people decide?
I'm talking about a democratic republic with a full system of checks and balances. The people can vote.
And I was just like, I tweeted that, thinking that seems like something stupid that, like, I was just joking. And then literally that exact scenario happened yesterday on Game of Thrones.
You're really excited about that, aren't you, Dubs?
I felt like...
You just lost your headset.
As it was happening, I felt like somebody was playing some kind of joke on me. I was like, wait a minute. Are like the showrunner's about to pop out and be like, oh, see, Russell, you saw your tweet. We decided to write it in the show.
Can we all agree that A Song of Fire and Ice was just... That was the goofiest thing in the show last night.
The book?
It was a little cheesy.
Who is the guy who wrote the book?
A little cheesy.
Samwell.
No, he didn't write it.
No, because
he did the illustration.
Wasn't that thing about Tyrion not being
in it? Yeah, because he would have put him in there. Was it the main Meister from the Citadel or whatever he was training at back in the day? I don't know. All right, stay with us. Hour number three of The Drive coming up. Fox Sports Knoxville. It's Fan Run Radio. We're back with more right after this.